Thank you very much. May I have your seat? You know what amazes me? I grew up in church. I spent a lot of my time going to church. But what amazes me is that every time I go to church, it's always fresh to me. You know why? Because God speaks. God loves His people. God loves us. You know, at the core of Christianity, the most powerful thing that we have as believers is the ability to hear from God. You know, God is not a philosophy. God is not a theory. Bible says the natural man cannot understand the things of God because they are foolishness to him. Because it is spiritually that they are discerned. The Apostle Paul says that's writing to this church in Corinth. These people that had a lot of philosophy, a lot of theories. He says to them, when I came to you, didn't come with so much speech, intellectual speech, or trying wisdom of man. But I came to you in simplicity. And when you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he speaks about the wisdom of God. And he says, these things are things that God hide to the wise of this world, but he has revealed to his children. And he says, it is by the Spirit of God that we know the things of God. Because God is Spirit. God speaks. God is the Father. I'm not coming to give you some theories. I'm not trying to speak about a God that hangs around, I don't know where, in Korea, I don't know where. Chilling in his room. No. But I've come to speak to you about the living God. My journey with the Lord started with being able to hear God's voice. I remember the first time I ever heard the voice of God. I'm talking about the audible voice of God. I was 7 years old. It was in a dream. The Lord showed me a dream. And in that dream, the Lord showed me somebody that was dead. And the Lord asked me to pray for him. And I remember I had these arguments. God spoke so clearly. It was this sound, beautiful authority, and yet very loving voice. And I remember in 2008, I had a dream. And in that dream, God spoke again, same tune. He said, I am coming soon. I remember that morning I woke up with such a fear of God. You see, the problem today is that many of us are only in church. We are not in the presence of God. We go to church, but we don't necessarily enter the presence of God. We do the A, B, C, D. But the relationship with God, it's still questionable. That is why we get offended. That is why our spiritual life, it's on and off. It's like offline and online. Offline and online, like cell phone, you know, data. You either have data to have access to internet or you don't. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, our Christian walk is up and down. Because it is not a living relationship. You know, Jesus, when you look at his life, Jesus said, I do what I see my Father doing. God speaks. And as we were just praying here, God was speaking about people. Yesterday I was praying, I was in my room. Out of the blue, the Lord showed me a picture of Nolutando. It was actually a vision that I saw while I was still awake. I wasn't sleeping. So sometimes God does that. You know, I remember last year, the Lord gave me a picture of a student that was in the church. And actually the morning, that student was planning to commit suicide. God speaks. That's my sermon today. God speaks. Hearing the voice of God. Hearing the voice of God. I'm telling you, there is nothing beautiful. There is nothing powerful. There is nothing that can be compared. You know, it's one thing to have a conversation with me, to have a conversation with your friend, conversation with your dad, conversation with your mom, with your grandma, with your grandpa, with your dog, conversation with whoever you can, on Skype, wherever it is. It will never, ever compare. with having a conversation with God. God has promised to speak to us. Let's look at the promises that God has made in scriptures. Second slide. Please. Kobe used to remind me, you must always say please. You know, French speaking, don't say too many please. All right. God made a powerful promise. He says in Psalm 32, there is so many promises about God promising to speak. He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the ways you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And this is in Isaiah now. He says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Let's go to the next slide. This is now Jesus speaking. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but wherever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. See, since the Old Testament, God has been promising to speak. Joel as well made a promise speaking about the Holy Spirit. He said, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. The old men shall see visions. You actually see through every generation, God promised to speak, to deliver his message. God promised, God is committed to speak to his people. And Jesus, speaking about the Holy Spirit, have promised that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach us. He will guide us. He will lead us. Why is it important to speak about God speaking? You know why? First thing that I would say, you and I, we only know the past. And we know the present, the things that we're going through. But we do not know what might come after 5 minutes. We do not know what tomorrow holds. And even as we meet people, we can only see their actions. We can only hear them. But we cannot read their mind. We cannot search the heart of man. So there are things that are only in God's hands. There are things that only God controls. There are things in life that are only in God's competence. And one of the things that is very critical in our daily life is this thing powerful called decisions. The choices we make. Because the time, every decision is always linked to a time. Through every choice, it's always a time. But you notice that in life, the timing of decisions is often shorter than the actual outcome of the decision. In 30 minutes, or in 2 days, or in a week, or in a month, a guy would pursue, for example, somebody or a girl. And then once they say yes, that may mean that they will spend the rest of the 50, 60, 70 years together because of a decision that was made in 5 minutes, maybe in 10 minutes, because in 1 minute somebody said yes. You can actually see that every single decision is so powerful. It's so powerful. Therefore, if that is the reality, if the impact of our decisions, if the impact of our choices during the real timing frame have a larger impact through the journeys of our life, therefore we do need to hear from God. Because God controls time and circumstances. He holds tomorrow in his hands. Because there are things that we don't know. That only God knows. Therefore, if there is anyone that we need really to hear for every single matter of our lives, it is God. You know, the Bible is speaking about Moses. Moses was born just like any little male boy that was born, and there was an instruction, there was a decree that they had to kill all the males. I'm sure there are certain mothers who perhaps kill their babies for their own safety. Or I don't know, some of them just did wait until they would come and kill the males. But the Bible says that the parents of Moses, they saw that this child was beautiful. And they kept him. And in the book of Acts says that this Moses was beautiful. In the French translation, it says he was beautiful to the sight of the Lord. They saw that Moses was beautiful to the sight of the Lord. In other words, somewhere inside, they felt that there's something about this little boy. So let's rather take him in a box and put him on this river. Perhaps we are not going to see him dying on our sides. And if you read in Exodus, there is a strong emphasis on his mother. She is the one who really took care. Then in the Hebrews, it speaks about, they kind of speak about maybe his father was there. But the mother of Moses picked up somehow, she's kind of a spiritual intuition that there was something special about this boy. And guess what? That particular boy later became the prophets for that nation. The timing of that decision was only a month period thing. But the impact of what God did with Moses still carries on until today. Moses wrote the 5 books of the Old Testament. He is the one who brought the law. He is the one who delivered. Actually, the promises that God made to Abraham were fulfilled in Moses' life. Why? Because there was a mother that had a divine intuition and made the right decision. How powerful it is to hear God. You and I one day will be fathers, will be mothers. But what kind of mothers are we going to be? What kind of father am I going to be? Am I going to be a blind one? Or am I going to be able to lead my family as a child of God? As somebody that hears from God? Because God has something to say about every single thing that you have in your head. Your studies, your choices, your marriages, everything. God knows the guy or the girl that you will pursue and even knows the dates and the time that will happen. God knows. But the thing is, if you do not have a relationship with him, it's tough to hear from him. Very tough. Very tough. Go to the next slide. Jesus says that my sheep hears my voice. He gave this analogy of the sheep and the shepherd. And what he was trying to say to these guys is that my sheep hears my voice. That is very simple. I'm going to get to that. I'm actually going to go a little bit quickly because we didn't have enough time. I mean, with the prayer, it took a little bit of time. I believe even prior to salvation, God speaks to every human being. He then speaks through your conscious. But then when he speaks to your conscious, his primary message to get you to salvation. But when someone is not born again yet, there are things that you cannot understand. There are certain things that you cannot receive from God. There are certain directions that you cannot receive from God, because scripture says, what will serve a man to gain the world and lose his soul? Yes, God, in even the most gangster of the gangster, somewhere in his heart, there is something that tells him that what you're doing is wrong. That's why somebody will steal a bag and start running away. Who tells him that he has to run away if he believes what he's doing is right? There is something on the inside that tells him that this is not right. But consciousness is not salvation. It's a means that God has given to every human being. But the Bible also speaks about the people that have seared their consciousness, where they don't feel, some people say, I don't feel anything, I don't feel any guilt, I can just do anything. If you have reached that level, that is quite terrible. And the Bible speaks in Romans, in chapter 2, of consciousness. It says actually the things that we may know about God have been made available to all man. Everything. But that's not the perfect way of God speaking to us. But that often happens while somebody's not born again. But if you're still in that place, what you need to do in order for you to start hearing from God, to start hearing Ashley to become his sheep, you need to be born again. And what's the step? Primarily, you need to acknowledge that Jesus Christ died for you. And that when he died, God took your sins before you were born, the sins that you have made before now, the sins that you are making, even the sins that you will make. Like the punishment of those sins came actually physically in the body of Christ when he died. Therefore, you have obtained forgiveness because of what Christ has done. So all you need to do is to receive the forgiveness, is to receive the salvation of Christ, is to acknowledge, and not only acknowledge, but you need to commit to him. Because also the devil recognizes that God is God. Even unbelievers, you know, if you acknowledge, if you recognize that God is God, it doesn't make you a believer. Unless you choose to submit and you choose to commit to him. When you choose to commit to him, then the journey starts. Then you've reached this place where he will guide you. Because when you come to him, you know what he will do? He will baptize you with his spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes in you, he will speak to you. He will guide you. But if you're still on the level of consciousness, you're not born again yet. God is calling you to know him. The primary reason why God wants to speak to us, it's not just to do ministry. No, it's for intimacy and relationship. That's what Jesus says, my sheep hears my voice. So what you need to do is to recognize that the finished work of the cross was done for you. And you need to say that in Romans 10 verse 9, it speaks about if you confess with your mouth. Can someone read that? Romans 10, verse 9. Someone with a Bible. Who's got a Bible? Tenashe.
Romans 10, verse 9. And if you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead,
you're reading very fast. First line?
And if you confess with your mouth.
First step. Confess with your mouth. The Lord Jesus,
and believe in your heart
that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is how simple it is. There is a confession that you need to make in order for you to step there. The problem is, growing up in church, again, I've seen so many people growing up in church with all the lingos, but they have never really from their own hearts did that particular thing. They have a relationship, they have a Christian relationship, but they don't have a real child-like relationship with God, where you have to come to that place. You know, my father and my parents, they did their parts, but there came a time where I had to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I believe in what you've done. Just a question. Who of you here feels like it's something that you still have to do? That particular scripture. Just lift your hands. Thanks for that. You can stand up. You're welcome to stand. Great. Cool. So you're going to repeat this prayer after me. All right? Just close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me on the cross. I repent of my sins. I repent of my vain ways, I come to you today. And I believe that you died and you rose again. I believe that I'm forgiven, that I'm accepted by God. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your promises. You said that you will never leave me, nor forsake me. Thank you for your mercy, for your grace. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are my guide. Thank you for salvation. Thank you that you open my ears now to hear the Good Shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. Great. You may clap your hands for them. Right. So right after this, the sermon, at the end, I would like you to come forward. We're going to pray with you, and we're going to trust God for the journey. Right? And we're going to chat and carry on. This is a powerful thing. Many times we're very used to this, but we don't realize what is the shift that happens. Scripture says that we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. All right. I don't think I'm going to share everything I prepared, but I want to finish off with one thing. I feel in my spirit that the Lord wants us to pray. Samuel, I don't know which way that slide is. You can just skip that one. Yes, great. There. Thanks, Claire. Oh, the Holy Spirit is with you. Great. Great. You know the word, do you know what's the meaning of Claire? It's a French word. It means clear. It's a powerful name. It means clear. Do you know that? Great. The Holy Spirit will give you clear visions. Clear visions. Great. 1 Samuel 3, verse 3, it says, the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark was. This is a very powerful story. Pastor D shared about it recently. I just wanted you to follow me quite well. You know the story, Eli. Samuel was, you know, was dedicated to the temple by his mother, and he was left there and everything. But now in this scripture, if you read prior to that, it says about Eli, he was sleeping in his room, he was sleeping at his place, some translation says. And then it says here that the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple, and the Lord of the Lord where the ark was. This is the ESV translation. And now, what I want you to get here is the whole Ark of Covenant. This is a powerful thing that God really spoke to Moses about. In Exodus 25, verse 22, he says, there I will meet you, speaking about the Ark of Covenant, and from above mercy seat, from between the cherubim that are on the Ark of Testimony. So, there is actually a picture of the Ark of Covenant that I downloaded. So this little thing, this is how kind of it looked like from the downloads that I made. Well, but it does have quite a lot of things that are described in Scripture. So now, in this Ark of Covenant, there were three things that were powerful, actually. There was a golden urn that kept the manna, you know, the manna that fell, and then there was also the Aaron's staff. And Aaron's staff actually, that Aaron's staff was the staff that produced blossoms. So there came a time in Israel where people started complaining and some people started kind of doubting and criticizing Aaron, not acknowledging his leadership as a priest, as an high priest, even standing up against Moses and all of that. So now the Lord gave an instruction and said, well, you shall take different staff from different families, sons from different families, and they had to put like 12 staff. It was like a little stick. And the next day, what happened is that particular staff of Aaron, out of it came some blossom and some mads. They came out of it, out of that staff. It was supernatural intervention, and that was the proof that he was chosen by God. So these supernatural things primarily the manna, which supernaturally was provided by God, was kept inside this thing. And then that, and also the tablets where the law was written, they were also kept in the Ark of Covenant. So the Ark of Covenant represented in Israel the presence of God. And God said to Moses that it is on this particular spot that I will come and speak to you. You can get back to the verse again, to those previous slides. So when God was giving the instruction, if you read in Exodus 25, God gives the details, but God said that this particular ark, on this particular spot where the cherubims were, where you saw the two angels, God said to him that that will be the spot where I will come and speak to you. So now, on our previous slide with Samuel, God's Bible says now, Samuel was in the temple. And while he was in the temple, he was lying. Where was he lying? The Bible says that he was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark was. In other words, where the actual install, the actual tool that God used according to the instruction he gave to Moses to speak to him. And now, when you read in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 3, you'll see as well that Eli, the high priest, was sleeping in his room. But this boy was actually at the right spot. And the Bible says the Lord called him. The word of the Lord came to him. He called him Samuel. He thought it was Eli. Secondly, he called him. Thirdly, then the high priest understood that, well, this must be God. What's the key here is that Samuel was at the right spot. He was at the right place. He was in the right position because that was the only place, according to Exodus 25, in the structure of the tabernacle where God chose to speak to the people of Israel. In fact, you will see, if you read Samuel Chronicles, every time the children of Israel lost the Ark of Covenant, they were in trouble. Even Obed-Edom, he hosted this Ark of Covenant in his house. Bible says his house started prospering. David, when he was dancing like a madman, it was actually when the Ark of Covenant was being brought back. Because the Ark of Covenant represented the presence of God. So in our context today, if you read in Hebrews 9, it speaks about the whole Ark of Covenant thing. And it also speaks about the shift that have happened through Christ in this New Testament, in this New Covenant. In this New Covenant, we do not even need this little thing. This was just a representation. This was just a symbol, a symbolic thing of what God was doing. In this dispensation, God is with us. When Jesus came, he was the Emmanuel. That is why when he got baptized for the very first time, these people were around him on the around the Jordan. They heard the voice of the Father. They heard the voice of the same God who spoke to Moses, because the real ark was there, Jesus himself. Because the presence of God was made available to man. And what did Jesus promise us? He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He said, I will send you the Comforter. I will not leave you. I will not leave you as orphan. Because that's who we are without the Holy Spirit. We are orphan. We cannot even know the Father. He reveals Jesus. Bible says it is led by the Spirit of God that we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You do not need theory to confess that Jesus is Lord. You need to receive the Holy Spirit. So, tonight the Lord wants us to reposition our hearts like Samuel in his presence, in the right spot. God wants to reposition our hearts so that we can have that real intimacy. One powerful thing that you read about Samuel, every word he spoke was spot on. It never failed. Why? Because it was on the right spot. What's your dwelling place? What is your dwelling place? Where are you lying? And when you're lying, where is your ears? As tonight, God wants to give us ears to hear him. What are the benefits of hearing God's voice? Divine directions. Divine directions. Faith, Bible says, faith comes from hearing. And hearing the word of the Lord. The theologian says that word there is the rhema word. It says faith comes from hearing. It doesn't say faith comes from what you heard. No, faith comes from hearing. Hearing the word of the Lord. So it implies a relationship. The just shall live by faith. Divine directions. There is a lot of people, honestly, I grew up in church, I'm telling you, I say it again. A lot of people that I grew up with that made terrible mistakes that are in trouble today because they didn't hear God. If they could only hear God, they would have not been where they are. I don't want you to get to a place one day in your life where your language will be, if I only knew. If you want to sort out that question, hear from God. You know, there is a girl, Congolese girl. Oh, no, South African girl, actually. She got married to a Congolese guy. What she didn't know is that this guy had a mental problem. And this guy was cursed in his family. Because after his father died, his father was very wealthy. People became very jealous and they cursed him. So sometimes when you speak to him, there are times when he starts getting loud and loud and loud. He will shout. He will just bring funny conversations. So now this girl didn't know. Got engaged to the guy. Looks handsome. Great guy. Looks decent. Speaks very good English. Everything is decent. It's great. Well, they got married. They got married. Guess what? One night, the guy took a knife. He was about to kill the girl. Because the demons was manifesting. If she only heard the Lord, she would have never been in that situation. One day, you and I will make choices that only us have to make. Because there are certain choices that you have to make among friends or among the council, where you can make with your small group leader, district leader, your pastor. But there are also certain decisions that you have to make the final call. And in those ones, if God is not there, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Therefore, we need the Lord. Let's stand. So there is a scripture, there's a last slide, very last slide. There is a scripture in Isaiah 50, verse 4 up to 5. I would love us to pray. When I use the scripture and try to make a prayer out of it. So I will have, as I will be leading us into prayer, so you're just going to be repeating after me as we're going to be praying. Really going to trust God to really restore our ability to hear. Because a lot of times we are busy but at the wrong place. Our ears are on the wrong place. A lot of people are depressed today because their ears are exposed to things that causes them to fear. You know, it's funny to me that I meet so many young people that are 20, 21, 22 that are so depressed as if they were grandfathers or grandmothers. You know, it's funny. It is funny because this is not God's will. When I was 22, I didn't even know what is stress. I didn't even know what it is. One day, I heard this depression. I was like, what is that? What is that? Yes, maybe that is the case. But I just wanted you to know that is not something that you should embrace. You can cancel it. So repeat after me. Thank you, Lord, that you have given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with the word him who is weary, morning by morning, awaken my ears to hear as those who are taught. Open my spiritual and natural ears. In Jesus' name, open my eyes to see things as you do. Open my ears to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Open my heart to your word. Open my ears to you, morning by morning. Every evening, open my ears. I long to hear you. In Jesus' name, deliver me from things that have hindered me to hear your voice, that have hindered me to hear your word. I bring myself before you. I bring every part of me. Restore me. Restore my ears. Restore my heart. Restore my emotions. By your Spirit, in Jesus' name, deliver me from curses of families, curses spoken over this land, spoken over this country. Deliver me. I want to hear your voice. I receive your word. I receive your word. I believe in the work of the cross. I believe in your blood that was shed. I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe in you. Holy Spirit, guide me. Lead me. Lead me. Guide me. Teach me. Teach me in your ways. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I break every vicious circle. I break every vicious circle. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Open my eyes to see your kingdom. Open my eyes to see the inheritance that you have for your children. Open my heart to see you. Enlighten my heart to see things as you do. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that we can know you. Thank you that I am free. I am free to know you. I am free to worship. I am free to worship. I am free to know you. I am free to read your word. I am free to pray. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just wanted to speak in tongues. Just pray in the Spirit if you pray in the Spirit.